Radio CSS Media,
your source for family-centered content.
RadioCSS.com.
And now, Audio Theater Central.
Oh, hi there. I'm John Avery Whittaker, but most folks around here call me Whit.
My name is Finian Jones, and you are...
Hello, I'm Dave Arnold, your host for Focus on the Family Radio Theater.
Hey everybody, I'm JD.
And I'm Roy.
And I'm Andrew. We are your hosts for Audio Theater Central.
Welcome to episode 18.
Yes, episode 18. We are back.
Yes, after a long month.
That's right. It has been a very long month.
Yes, and waiting and waiting and waiting. Yes. Waiting.
What do we have on the slate for today? Not that we still use slate.
It's all right. We use a newer version of slates.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is a slate? Yeah.
Now we use tablets.
Now we use iPads. Now we use iPads, Andrew.
Yeah, that's tablet, iPad.
Yes.
There is only one tablet.
Anyway.
I'll let that slide for now. Well, today we are going to take a look at Jonathan Park album 7, which is called The Voyage Beyond.
Who's Jonathan Park?
Well, I guess you'll just have to wait and listen to find out.
Oh, wait, I was supposed to listen to something.
Say, haven't you already listened?
Oh, yes, I did. Okay, anyway.
Great. Nice. Hope somebody did.
Before we jump into that, though,
oh my,
of course, Roy's going to have another superb, spectacular, and stupendous newscast.
Superfluous.
Superfluous, yes.
Superfluous.
The only reason why is because it's edited by our master control man, JD. And mm-hmm. So because it's edited, then that makes it sound all the best, the better, the more better.
Yeah.
Yes, that.
Yeah, by the way, guys,
exactly.
Yes.
The last couple of episodes, we've tried something a little new. Mm. We're recording live to hard drive.
Mm.
Very minimal editing. We're mixing in the sound effects as we go. So if you notice anything different, if you like it or if you don't like it, give us some feedback. Let us know what you think about the sound. If you notice any difference or maybe you don't notice any difference. But it makes it a lot easier for us, and we're able to get an episode put together and out to you much quicker. So there's a little inside baseball for you.
Woo! Hit it on the inside. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let's go.
Inside a baseball.
No.
There's wrapped up threads. That's what's inside a baseball.
Anyway, so if you want to give us some feedback, you can give us some feedback at feedback@audiotheatercentral.com, if that made any sense.
Now, we know that is a little strange that our email would be feedback@audiotheatercentral when you're giving us feedback. Huh? Yeah. It makes no sense. I don't understand it myself, but hey.
Yes.
We try to just make it simple. You know, check out the website, audiotheatercentral.com. And by the way, if you haven't noticed, if you haven't been to the site lately, you do really need to visit that on occasion. Or sign mm-hmm. up to subscribe to the RSS feed for the blog, because we're going to start something a little new. We're going to be reviewing certain one-off productions that are not part of an ongoing series in just a text review rather than a full review on the show. So,
example, My Fair Lady, what you just did, right? The
exactly.
review of My Fair Lady, which was very well done.
Now, who does this show?
Yeah, it's a new player in the audio drama world. They're called Northern Lights Radio Theater.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And this is their first offering of an audio drama, and it's a short drama, but you can check that out. We'll put a link in the show notes for this episode 18, to that review, and you can actually listen to that production right on our website and leave some feedback on the comments for that post, or leave some feedback at the Northern Lights Radio Theater website as well.
Exactly.
So check that out, and we're going to be trying to do more reviews of this type in the future. So be sure to check the website periodically. Well, what do you say we jump into the news?
Sure.
Oh, first, I have a random question
okay.
of the day.
Oh, my goodness.
Or of the month, I guess. Okay. JD, do you have any information about Spirit Blade? Any new information?
I don't have anything new at this point.
Andrew, if there was something new about Spirit Blade, it would be in the news.
But I thought possibly that JD might have heard that they were working on the second part of Pilgrim's Progress.
Yeah.
I just thought I had heard that somewhere.
Well, I think we mentioned last time, or maybe it was two episodes ago, that they're in like the preliminary stages of, I think, the writing of it. They're actually getting ready to record their flagship production is called Spirit Blade, ergo the name. So they're getting ready to record the third part of the Spirit Blade trilogy.
Got it. So I knew I had heard something, but I couldn't remember where or when.
So hopefully, upon completion of that, then they'll jump on the Pilgrim's Progress again.
Yes,
which
definitely.
We really enjoyed.
Which we await with much anticipation.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, here's the newscast for this week's Audio Theater Central podcast. We're going to walk through one more time. This is the Wits End Door, the little bell here. Ding-a-ling. Anyway, the AO team has revealed the title of album 56. It will be called The Grand Design. Little else is known about this album. However, according to the AIO Wiki, some inventions from the past will return, including the Inspiration Station and the Imagination Station. For more info on this album, click the link in the show notes. To check out the AIO Wiki's page, you can check the notes in the show notes there too. Anyway, Andrew, there is no news about Spirit Blade Productions. Just want to let you know. Anyway, this is it for the news this time. I'm Roy, reporting for Audio Theater Central.
Thank you, Roy. That was a superfluous.
Superfluous.
Yes, superfluous newscast.
Thank you.
It was very short, too.
Thank you very much.
Thankfully, it was very short. We all appreciate that.
So we're going to talk about Jonathan Park. We had never heard of this drama until it was brought to our attention by our listeners, actually.
Exactly. Yeah.
So,
on the blog. Have you heard of Jonathan Park? No.
Oh, right.
Several times.
Right. It was a comment.
There's a comment. Yes, there's a comment. And we also heard it from other people, too. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually saw one of the albums in a Christian bookstore some time ago, a few years ago, but I didn't know what it was, so I didn't pay any attention to it. And then whenever people started mentioning it, listeners to the show started looking into it. So, you know what? We're going to talk about their most recent album, album 7.
How many albums do they have out?
Seven. Since this was their most recent.
Is that what he said?
Yes, I
missed that part.
The most recent would be number 7. So since there is no number 8, there are probably 7 of them.
Okay. Gotcha. So there's been 7 albums, and this is the most recent. Okay.
Right, which would be number 7.
Okay.
Unless they had an album 0.
Yes.
Then this would be the 8th album.
Ah. Okay.
But they started at 1.
Sorry for jumping in on there, JD. Yeah. I just wanted to make clear.
And you were making fun of me for asking for Spirit Blade, please. Yeah.
So we're kind of coming at this whole thing as brand new listeners to this series. We know nothing about the previous 6 albums other than the little bits that I've read on the Jonathan Park website, which is jonathanpark.com, in case you're interested. But I pulled this little blurb about the series from the website. So for those of you out there who haven't heard of Jonathan Park yet, this will give you a little bit of background onto the series. It says, each adventure is based on real places and scientific discoveries, all designed to build your faith. The adventures follow Jonathan Park, son of a paleontologist, Dr. Kendall Park. While running from a storm, Jonathan and his father collide with the Brennan family as they seek shelter in a hidden cave. After discovering a massive dinosaur graveyard that shows evidence for a worldwide flood, these two families have combined forces to build a new museum, open the fossil discovery, and the hidden cave to spread the message of the Creator. For the past 10 years, the Jonathan Park Project has provided families and individuals with scientific evidence that is in harmony with the Word of God. It continues to give answers to tough questions that have caused many to leave the faith. Vision Forum's goal for the next 10 years and beyond is to provide episodes that will lay the foundation of faith for family members of all ages. So Vision Forum is the company that produces the series. So that's a little bit of a background behind the series. As I said, we're going to be focusing on the most recent album. We're probably not going to go back and revisit the previous six albums. We're just going to pick up from this album going forward. And we'll try to keep on top of this series as new albums and new episodes come out in the future.
Right. I really enjoyed this. Really did. As a first-time listener. And Jonathan Park, whatever. Speaking of Jonathan, we'll get into this later anyway.
Well, as a long-time listener, first-time caller,
yes.
I thought it was very good. Yes, actually, I did think it was was excellent.
Shall we start with the overall? Overall, if we were given stars, I'd give this 4 stars.
Out of how many?
5.
Oh, okay. Yes, I will agree with you.
Copycat.
Maybe 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no. I think I'll go with 3.5.
Oh.
It was good.
Yeah. I think I would go with a 3.5 as well.
I'm sticking to 4.
Okay.
I like 4.
That's right.
So, Andrew.
You just like round numbers.
What is Volume 7, The Voyage Beyond,
tell
about?
Us. Tell us all about it, my friend.
I don't know. Just kidding. In Jonathan Park and The Voyage Beyond, Jonathan and the Creation Response Team meet an eccentric philanthropist explorer named Alexander DeMarcus. Mr. DeMarcus appears to have a passion for marine life. Exploring the ocean depths with his experimental electromagnetic submarine, the Manta. At first, the CRT joins forces with Mr. DeMarcus, excited to learn more about God's amazing creatures beneath the sea. But the team soon realizes that this mysterious explorer has something even bigger in mind. Discover his incredible secret in Jonathan Park and the Voyage Beyond.
Very good.
You just got it.
Yeah. One thing that I noticed that was interesting about the album overall is that each episode is exactly as it airs on the radio with promos and everything. Every episode is exactly 25 minutes, 58 seconds long mm-hmm. on the CDs. So it doesn't look like, as in Odyssey, sometimes there's extra scenes or whatever on the album version. It seems like mm-hmm. with this series, you know, judging just from this album, like you said, we haven't heard previous ones, but it seems like these are the actual radio version.
Okay. I was going to ask you about that. If if that the ones that we heard were the actual ones that came in the package, or was it, you know, the ones that are aired on the radio? So the ones we heard are the ones in the package. Okay.
Yep.
So they come with promos in them and everything.
No, they're the ones up from the radio.
Okay.
We just covered this. They're the same.
Yes. I was making
so it makes no difference.
This is the 7th album of Jonathan Park.
I'm just teasing.
Yeah, I know. Yes.
That was a good question, actually. I was wondering the same thing.
I was just making sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because sometimes we get, you know,
right,
radio. We'll get radio versions. And
exactly.
They'll have promos when when you buy the copy, they don't have the promos in them.
Right.
Well, so, and I mean, until JD just said something about it, I had no idea which one we were listening to either. So. I really was only messing with you.
Okay. I appreciate the apology. I accept it. You're forgiven.
Thank you.
And I should mention also, just as a thank you to Vision Forum, they provided this copy of the album to us at no charge so we could review it. So
we appreciate
thank you that very much.
Yes.
And one other note on the whole approaching this thing as a brand new listener. There were a lot of characters to follow. I mean,
a
it's
lot.
Just like
oh, yes.
they're just all thrown at you right at the get-go. I think maybe they could have done something. I don't know. I think they're approaching this as they have a lot of diehard fans out there already who are following the show very closely, and so they're already familiar with these characters. So they don't really take the time to introduce the characters in the beginnings of any of the episodes or anything, so it just kind of jumps right in, and you're expected to know who is who, and a lot of the voices are similar sounding, at least to me.
Good point.
And
yeah, I agree with
that. It took
me
a couple of episodes into it before I finally was even getting an idea of who was who.
Right, exactly. Or for me, it was the second time listening to it, you know, going back and listening to it again. It's like, oh, okay, you know, putting the characters in their place and everything like that. And another thing, coming at it from a first-time listener, is the whole, there's a lot of information thrown at you
mm-hmm.
as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of scientific info, which I appreciated, actually. I thought it was pretty good.
Well, yeah, it's amazing. It's great stuff. The whole, you know, creation versus evolution. And, you know, obviously, I agree with it, you know, wholeheartedly. But it's just a lot. It was a lot to get all at the same time. And it definitely a second listen helps, you know,
right.
clearing
because
it all
as
up.
A first reaction, I was kind of like, wow, that's a little too much. Yes. Just all at once. That was like an initial, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what's going on here? And I love science and everything, but still.
It's a little overwhelming.
Right. Mm-hmm. And with all the scientific info thrown in there, listening to it for the first time, it didn't sound corny. That's not the word I want. But it sounded, I guess, different because you're not really used necessarily to characters explaining scientific facts and things like that to other characters. It sounds not forced, but
okay, I'm gonna read to you exactly what I wrote in my notes.
Okay.
I think this is going to
it's probably what we're all thinking.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
So I wrote, the conversation doesn't seem very natural when packed with so many creation versus evolutionist arguments and scripture verses.
Yes.
It's not a natural flowing conversation.
Right.
In many places. And I know why they're doing that. They're wanting to pack that information. That's their whole goal behind this series, is to bring forth the creationist point of view.
Right.
But I think they did that at the risk of sounding a little bit, well, unnatural. The conversation doesn't sound natural.
Right? Yeah, and there were times when it sounded better than others.
Right.
Yes, I agree.
But because I noticed there were a couple places where the conversation really, it fit perfectly. Mm-hmm. Because of the action that was going on, everything just flowed, whatever. But there were other times where it was like, oh, they kind of slipped that in there and just kind of forced it in there because they didn't have anywhere else to put it.
Exactly. Yeah, but like the time where they're down in the, you know, they're getting ready to find the manta and all that. Spoiler alert. Anyway, they're getting ready to find this stuff and they're like, you know, there's nothing else to talk about. And so like, this happened several times where the kids just bring up just random questions about stuff they were just talking about before. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's okay. You know, same thing. You know,
I think that
it's not too bad because you understand why and
right,
what's going on. So it's not
right.
that, it's not really that big of a deal, but.
And it seems like it's a lot. It's edited together a lot. It seems like, you know, once someone is talking, like almost they jump in on top of each other sometimes. I don't know if you got that at all, but on a few places it seemed like there was.
Yeah, I think so.
That
a lot of hard edits.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like.
I did catch that.
And I'm sorry.
And
Andrew,
that's not to say that our whole impression is negative. It's
no.
Just
no. Just, you know, coming at it for first time listener.
Yeah.
Is what I, you know, what I hear.
Yeah, and you know, probably the negative things that we say at first are the reasons that we say 3.5 stars or whatever. Because
right.
we'll talk about as we go on all the reasons that we give the 3.5 stars, and those will be all the positive comments. But and we usually like to get the negative stuff out of the way,
right
in the beginning.
Yeah, you know, bad news first.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Yes. That was corny. Okay.
Yeah. Another thing dealing with like the production, if you want to get into this, but it was Kendall seemed. I know we talked about it a little bit before the show, but Kendall seemed like he was whenever he would come in. Just take a scene. I just, as an example, like all the rest of the voices sounded like they were in a room. And then when Kendall would come into the sink to speak, he sounded very close up in the mic and he didn't seem like he was actually there with them. It almost sounded like he was recorded at a different studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. That stuff just kind of gets, you know.
Which yeah. I don't think we have any info on that. We don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That
right.
very well may be the case.
Right.
I don't know. But it definitely was very, very noticeable
mm-hmm.
to me as well.
Okay, yeah. And one last point. I hope I'm not stealing anybody's points.
Go right ahead.
Jonathan Park, how it's labeled Jonathan Park, coming at
oh,
this
yes.
from a first-time listener.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan, he was only, like, the story only focused on him, I think, I want to say 3 or 4 times, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, when it came to decisions, him dealing with questions about evolution and creationism. I mean, I thought the focus was more on his dad, Kendall.
Yeah.
You know, and the adventures. And then again, it might be, you know, 1 through 6, I haven't heard.
Right.
So there might be other.
Maybe it started out more focused on him and it's
right.
just kind of evolved into something else.
Exactly.
I think a more apt title or yeah, a title for the series would be like the Creation Response Team or something right. like mm-hmm. that. You know,
yeah. the Creation Response series. Or yeah, exactly.
Because he's just one of a large cast of characters.
And exactly.
Yeah, true. I definitely noticed that as well. So. Any overall perceptions, Andrew, before we jump into the episode by episode dissection?
No, that was it.
I think the characters as a whole, as you know, as casting, I think they did a really a good job in acting.
And when I was speaking with the director of the series, because I did have a couple of phone conversations with him, and he gave me a little bit of behind the scenes information, and said, you know, they made a conscious decision not to have professional actors.
Oh, wow.
Because they wanted every cast member to actually espouse this theology or this approach to creation or to the earth. And so all of the so they're not professional actors.
Wow.
And you'll pick up on that, you know, you can see a few lines could have been done a little better,
sure. right?
And things like that, but that was intentional. So they didn't hire professionals on purpose because they wanted everybody on the team to, you know, be of like mind. So
right.
And he understood that was, they did that at the expense of losing some professional quality in the production. But, you know, they are aware of that. So I thought that would be important to mention that as well. We actually do have a clip that we wanted to play of the first episode. And actually, this album, and I don't know if all of them are like this, but this particular album, there's 12 episodes, but there's actually 6 two-parters. So... this clip we have is from the first two-parter, which is called The Creature of Cape Cod. So here's a little snippet of that.
Reported that the carcass of a plesiosaur washed up on Scuset Beach in the Cape Cod area yesterday.
A plesiosaur? What's that?
A plesiosaur is a huge ocean-dwelling reptile that we know about from the fossil record.
So where's Scuset Beach?
Jonathan, off the coast of Massachusetts is Cape Cod Bay. Scuset Beach is just west of the Cape Cod Canal Inlet on the bay, in the city known as Sandwich.
So if this is really a plesiosaur, it would have major implications.
And again, that was taken from the first story in the series called The Creature of Cape Cod. So this whole album has one central theme, and they all kind of just continue that story through the entire album, but each two-parter has its own little storyline as well. So the first one again was The Creature of Cape Cod, and so as you heard in that clip, there's a disturbance in the waters, and everybody's thinking that there's an actual dinosaur in there. Well, it turns out to be the submarine,
the Manta. Spoiler yes. alert. Spoiler exactly. alert.
Mm-hmm.
Beware, there are spoiler alerts throughout this whole thing. So
yes.
But there's a mysterious green glow in the water. And everybody in town is wondering, what in the world is going on?
So the storyline was very interesting. Lots of action in this
yes,
one.
There was.
Although some parts did seem a little melodramatic, which I thought there were several points throughout the entire album that were a little on the melodramatic
right.
side. But
some of the parts where they're like, they couldn't communicate on their little cell phone watch thing. I mean, the little watch walkie-talkies. I was like, what about your phone? You have service on that. Like, he just downloaded all those files from his phone. How come you can't just make a phone call? But anyway,
true.
You know.
Good point.
Ooh, good point. And so.
I like all their high-tech gadgets.
Oh, it's amazing.
They have some cool stuff.
They do. The whole, for instance, like I just meant, if you don't know what I'm talking about, they have a little walkie-talkie watches, and I guess, right? That'd be the correct way to say that. And they can communicate.
Well, how else would you say it? Talkie-walkie?
I think, though, it seems that they can communicate over long, like
satellite.
Yeah.
Satellite watches.
You know, typical walkie-talkies, they only have a few mile range, but
miles,
it seemed like they could communicate for much farther distances.
Right.
There's a few funny lines by the character Eddie. And I like him. I like that character. There were several times throughout the album that he would come up with something really funny or
yes.
would do something. And even though he was not intending to be funny, it did come across funny. I think the series as a whole could use a little bit more language like that.
Mm-hmm. He's always like the eating. He was the one eating Twinkies and such, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Now, see, this part got me. Coming into it as a first-time listener, one more time, again, I didn't realize, it took me the second time around, there's a junior response team, too.
Yeah, and I still am kind of unclear as to how that all works.
Right, so you got the regular CRT, but there's a junior CRT, and that's Eddie and all those other guys
the
that
kids?
Hang out. Yeah, there's a grandpa. There's a, what's his face?
Well, there's the Kent, the Park family,
Jonathan,
and
yeah.
then the Brennan family.
I was trying to figure that out. Who's the Brennan? Okay, there's the guy right there.
Yeah, so.
And there's a lady that's the wife of the Brennan dude, right? Is she in there or
I
no?
I think both of the wives are.
Yeah.
Again, I'm still a little confused onto all the characters.
Right.
As
that's how I was trying to work out, too. I was hoping we could get it all straight here. So, okay, so the Brennan family and the Park family, and they're together. Most of the time.
Yeah, I guess they comprise the creation response
the CRT.
Team, both of them together.
Got it.
Right.
Okay.
I was waiting for them to answer Kirk's question about the starlight, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's brought up in this very first episode.
Right, and they don't.
And it's not even addressed again, and I'm like, what?
What?
Yeah.
And then that little story ends in the two-part episode.
Which question?
About the distant starlight, how it takes so many years or whatever for that light to reach Earth, and you know that whole debacle that actually runs throughout the entire series. But I didn't realize that. I'm like, you know, I get to the end of that two-parter, and I'm like, well, they didn't even address that. No answer. It's not even answered until, I think, the last episode, if
yeah.
I'm not mistaken.
I was going to say, I know I heard an answer.
Yeah. But in that first section of The Creature of Cape Cod, it's not even, you know, he brings up the question and Jonathan doesn't have an answer,
mm-hmm.
at least one that suffices him.
Until
exactly.
Later.
And then, yeah, it's not even brought up for quite a while.
Right.
So it's going to be kind of hard to break these up into individual episodes.
Yeah.
Because, again, they do have one central storyline that runs through them all. But any other thoughts on that episode?
Just in the beginning, I like how the guys were fishing. And they do this a few times. They have a scene in the beginning, and they don't get to that scene until, like, the middle of maybe second part of the story. Mm. I thought that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I love that.
That was cool.
The guys fishing, the whole story about him slipping on the suntan lotion, whatever it is, and that was pretty funny. Anyway.
The next set was called Journey to 1,000 Fathoms.
Oh, yes.
Well. This is where they really get involved with Mr. DeMarcus.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And this is just amazing. It's the whole, you know, it reminds me of the whole 10,000 Leagues Under the Sea. I could not
Definitely.
Help but think. And they even mention that. They even mention it in the 20, story.
20,000 Leagues.
What?
20,000.
Yeah, yeah, that. And
same thing.
They even mention it. Like that Mr. DeMarcus, he quotes from the book, you know. And I was like, it's just amazing. You know, he has this whole underwater sea mansion and stuff, and this
Captain Nemo.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
I definitely
New Marcus.
I have that wrote into my notes, too, because I was like, oh, that. Because I remember I read that book many years ago.
Yeah, same here.
I love that book.
Yeah. Awesome. But, I love that part where they're, this is near the beginning, and they're talking about the donuts, and then,
yes.
Forget which adult, again, the characters are a little confusing to me still, but. One of them said, Ryan, only one. You
exactly.
know?
Mm-hmm.
Gonna
exactly.
start chomping down on a bunch of donuts.
I just love, too, how Mr. DeMarcus, he is, you know, he has the whole surprise about him, how, like, the technology and everything, you know, to get into his door, he has to make the whale noise or whatever
yeah.
Under the underground. And then, he captures them in the van. He totally plays on the scenario of them, you know, being news reporters and all that. And then
exactly.
he takes them to his mansion. And then, he just, sits around and waits for them, and they're just talking away. Then he just busts up on them with this electronic voice out of nowhere.
Oh,
know?
Yeah. That was
oh, yeah.
too.
You know, who is that?
So he actually invites them on to the Manta,
exactly.
and they actually get to go exploring with him. Very action-packed again.
Yeah.
I hate to say this, but maybe I just thought of this, but I thought of this before. It was because of the whole, getting on to a transportation deal and whatever. I just thought of the Magic School Bus.
You know, I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, really?
Are you serious? Oh, okay.
I can kind of see that. Yeah.
I just, okay. It was just a funny like correlation that came up in my mind. It's like, this is the magic school bus.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can tell what Andrew reads at home at night. The magic school bus.
I do not read the magic school bus. I've not read those for years.
Oh, okay. But just the whole concept of the manta and the whole thing is just amazing.
Being able to explore that deep under the sea.
Yeah, you know,
the
whole futuristic thing of it. And, you know, how he makes the thing run by electromagnetic propulsion or whatever it's called, you know. And then they take the hydrogen and oxygen out of the water and use the hydrogen for, you know, to turn the boilers and all that jazz. And they use the oxygen to breathe. And just the whole idea of it. I just love that kind of stuff.
It was really cool. And it was in this third or fourth episode here that I really started to kind of get attached to the character of Kirk. I don't know if he's appeared in any previous albums. Seems like he's a relatively new character, but maybe I'm wrong about that.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
But at first, I didn't really care for him.
Right.
But he started to grow on me in this section right here.
Yeah. And then, again, you got the whole other underlying story throughout the whole thing, you know, between Kirk and his dad and the whole family situation. You know, his dad leaving when he was young, and then he's contacting his dad throughout the whole thing. Spoiler alert. And he's contacting, you know, back and forth.
Yeah, this whole sabotage thing.
Right, and then you can just feel it. He's weighing it back and forth in his mind about, you know, what to do, do the right thing, and it's really intense, I think, in some parts. But in this episode, Journey to 1,000 Fathoms is where they do their first walk. I'm right... think they actually get out of the fan, is it, I don't know, I can't remember. This is where they go to the
this is where the giant squid
attacks the little ship,
right?
The little manta. What is it called again? The pilot ship.
I forget what it was called.
The pilot ship. Yep.
Didn't it have a name though?
Yeah, that, no, that's it. That's, it was the called name, the pilot ship.
I'm pretty sure it's the pilot ship.
But that's another scene right out of that story, 20,000 Leagues.
Right, exactly. But it was cool, though. I like that.
The whole thing, how Kirk, you know, he does the sabotage to that ship, and ends up, he's on it,
exactly.
The giant squid.
And he gets hurt.
Right.
Well, he almost gets hurt.
Almost. Mr. Kendall takes care of.
About whom the story is not, apparently. It's about Jonathan. Even though Jonathan doesn't do anything. But... when the squid attacks the manta too, and they like almost boil the ship, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And the whole reason they do that, you know, how he totally has a whole underlying purpose while he does all that. It's just amazing.
He was just using it as like a test.
Right.
Just great.
And we'll get to this in a few more episodes.
Yeah. And the next one was Recesses of the Deep. And this is where they take the manta and go explore an old shipwreck site.
Right. And this is where they do one of their first sea walks, if you want to call it that. And also, once again, it is preparation for a future event that is to take place.
Yes. So would that be like walking on the water? Or in the water?
In the water.
And, of course, the plot with the professor and Kirk's dad continues.
Exactly. Mm. Yep. And once again, Kurt has another face. He faces, he crosses death's door. Or, no, he doesn't cross it.
He comes very close
to crossing death's door.
Poor kid.
Yeah.
His entire life is one near-death experience.
Yeah, they're down there, and he goes off disobeying orders. And he starts to go in the ship because he sees this angel-looking thing, which is pretty interesting during this part. They have, like, this lady, like, singing in the background, like, angel, kind of, like, whatever. Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound very angelic.
Yeah,
but.
I know, yeah. Sorry. My best angelic.
Get the point.
Yes. And so he's singing, or no, she is, and he gets caught up in some cables, and he is about to, he only has a little bit of oxygen left, and... he has to take off his oxygen tank, and Mr. Kendall goes over and saves him, and they use their oxygen tank. And
yeah, I get the feeling that all Jonathan Park episodes are just one death-defying escapade after another. So. And again, the technology on the Manta is pretty cool. I mean, they use that, I forget what it was called, but that thing that retrieves the sea animals and brings it into
the sifter. Sifter gun.
Oh, yeah.
Sifter.
Slurper gun.
Slurper. Yeah, slurp. The slurp gun.
Yeah, something like that.
That's what it was. Yep.
Kind of a weird name, but yeah. I think they could have thought of something a little more technical. But
and the whole thing where they have a whole open bay area where they can actually...
Yeah.
You know, this is my only thing, my only question, is how far does sunlight go down underwater until you cannot see sunlight anymore?
It's a good question.
I wish I knew, because depending on
how far down were they?
Exactly. They're down.
They were 1,000 fathoms.
They're pretty deep most of the time.
That was the other story.
And they're and they're sitting there gazing at all these animals. Now, I know that some of them are bioluminescent. I think I did that right.
You heard that term quite often.
Yes.
powerful floodlight.
So I know they can see them that way, but a lot of time they're like, you know, talking about how they can see and whatnot, all this other stuff. And
yeah, maybe they had some sort of lights on the outside of the ship.
Yeah, I'm just thinking too hard about it. That's probably all it was.
Has to be.
I was probably just thinking too hard.
That's got to be what it is.
Yep. Got to be. Anyway.
And then in this one, you actually start getting a few doubts about Alexander DeMarcus, whether or not he's to be trusted.
This is very interesting because, you know, at first you're like, you're kind of thinking about, cool, yeah, you know, yeah. And then I was like, is he really a Christian or is he just playing up to be, you know, part of, you know, because they play those scenes that they're like trying to figure out about Dr. Burgess. They're trying to do all the, you know, other stuff and like he's talking to those other guys and there's something else going on and you don't know, you know, if they're...
Mm-hmm.
And so there's always this suspicion going on about Mr.
DeMarcus.
Interesting, he's not a doctor himself. I was like, why didn't they? Okay.
Right on. He's just a billionaire.
Yeah. So just go around creating things.
Just eccentric.
Which brings us to the race for space. And we find out in this one that
what's actually going on.
Yes. That's his whole purpose for this whole thing.
Right, because they find an astronaut suit and they find, you know, different things. And he tells them, you know, I'm going to let you guys in on a secret. All this is prepared, so I have this spaceship that we're building, and it's called...
Thunderbird?
No.
What?
The Thunderbird was the plane that takes this up there.
It's called the Speedwell.
The Speedwell.
That's right.
Yes. So.
Which is what I like to do whenever there's no cops around.
Speedwell, yes.
That's the only way to do it.
Just joking. Boop,
boop, boop.
Just joking. Oh.
Yes.
I want to rewind just for a second to the previous episode. I liked that scene where he's racing that other submarine.
Oh, it's hilarious.
A rich guy's submarine, you know.
Was that a submarine, or I thought there was a ship on top? It was a submarine?
No, it was another. Oh, okay. Yeah, because remember, they would go right underneath
right,
it.
Right. Yeah. That's what.
He has one similar, but evidently the Manta is, like, way more powerful.
Exactly. Like, he's just racing them, and he thinks that he's got full throttle. Then when they have to turn around, the guys on the ship are like, he was just playing with this. It was funny.
Yeah. Okay, back to the race for space.
Yes. And what this whole story is about.
Now, right at the beginning of this section, there's that reference to foreclosure and how Kirk's mother's about to lose her house. And I thought, well, that's kind of a nice touch. That's a very timely subject. There's a lot of people that are going through that in our country right now. So I thought that was kind of a nice twist to put into the storyline. And we also find out what Miles Morgan is up to in this one.
Yes.
That he was actually... Well, up until this point, we don't know what it was that they took from the professor.
Right. Then they.
And then in this one, we find out that he was working on that
fuel. Bio-nuclear fuel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rocket fuel. And so during this time, there's a race between private companies to see who's going to get into space first and do the and win the Star Walker Prize. Star Walker Prize, exactly. And so there's this company that Miles Morgan. Is working for, and they're the bad people, and then we've got the good.
Right. Which is actually kind of cool, because that's kind of timely, too, since there are companies that
and
are doing
They mention that, and it's pretty cool at the end of all of the, if you listen to the very ends of them, you know, they say, the stories are fictitious, but there are actual real facts in the story, and which is cool. It's true. You know, there's private companies doing that right now, so.
And so, Mr. DeMarcus also has this center set up for his whole space efforts. And so they bring all these reporters in, and start telling them about the creation version of
exactly,
you know, and so it's really cool. They have all these high tech displays and right. everything.
It's very cool.
The whole floor turns into like clouds and like creation and light, and then they have like the planets, like mm-hmm. huge spheres swirling around and stuff. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome. And they're playing in the background. You hear this documentary on the cosmos.
Yes.
And who was the voice on that documentary?
Mr. Witsend himself.
That's right.
Paul Herlinger.
Paul Herlinger.
That's right.
Good to hear it, doing a little variation on his voice. But as he came on, I was like, hey, that's familiar right there. I haven't heard that voice in a long time. And
I read that that is an actual documentary that he produced and narrated. So that wasn't
really? Was
done
gonna
for
say,
this production.
I was going to say he did those.
Yeah,
I know he did the, a,
he
lot
did a lot
of those.
Fun. Yeah.
So that's really cool.
And that one, you can actually go to the Creation Museum. I think it's in Kentucky.
Hmm.
I believe it's like the Answers in Genesis group that has that.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can go hear that documentary that Paul Herlinger
that's
did.
Really
and
cool.
It plays in there. So that was kind of cool to hear his voice, though.
Definitely.
In a show I'd never heard before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was exactly. pretty neat.
And then another little tip, behind-the-scenes thing. The pilot of the Thunderbird 7, was it? Thunderbird
yes.
7, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
His name was Andy Riffenbecker or something like that. Well, that was a twist on one of the writers for the show. His name is Andrew Riffenberg.
Oh.
And I think he actually played that voice.
Oh,
so I
really?
Thought that was kind of cool.
That is cool. I feel a little behind-the-scenes stuff there. That's
yeah.
neat.
And here's a little hint about what's coming up
mm.
with Audio Theater Central.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Is Andrew and his dad started a new series. It's kind of like an old-time radio detective format of
mm-hmm.
the show.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you'll be hearing more about that coming up. It's pretty cool.
Mm.
It's called Rick Wraith, Christian Detective.
Ah.
So
very cool.
Very nice.
But he plays one of the characters in that as well. So
now, if you are having some trouble getting to know these characters, there is actually on the Jonathan Park website a place where you can meet the characters.
Yeah.
They have Jonathan, Kendall, Angela, Katie, and Benjamin Park, and the Brennan family also.
Oh, that's yeah. a good tool.
Now, that won't help you get to know their voices. You have to listen.
Right.
That.
Exactly.
But you right. can kind of figure out a little bit what's going on.
Right.
Just thought I'd kind of throw that in there for free.
Thanks.
Another thing that I caught in this episode is the customer service representative at the bank when... Mrs. Morgan, I forget her first name.
Yes.
When she was calling in about her mortgage.
Yes.
Did you catch what his employee number was?
666 at the very end.
Huh?
It was 666 at the very end.
Yeah, it was 1M666. I'm like, but
interesting.
I thought it was going to turn out to be some all sinister plot, you know. But
right.
then he was just telling her that her mortgage had been paid.
Yeah.
So, spoiler alert.
By whom? Who paid her mortgage? I wonder who. Which is interesting because this whole time Miles is going through, you know, he's actually thinking about what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He starts to, and he's, you know, the scenes that has Miles in it, there's some of them, he's actually remembering times in his life when they were a family and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's pretty moving as we get towards the end here. Kept me on my seat, edge of my seat.
And then we have Preparing for Flight, the yes. second to the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
This is where they start training for this launch into space.
And right.
I mean, it's a pretty exciting story. They're competing again, like you guys mentioned, against that other private company. This company is called Ex Nihilo,
mm-hmm.
Mr. DeMarcus's company. I forget what the name of the other one was, but...
Rocket Ship One is there.
Oh, yeah, Rocket Ship One. Yeah.
Is the title of their rocket ship, but I don't remember.
And the bad guy behind that whole thing, I don't know if he's a recurring
character
or
mm-hmm.
not, but he had a good bad guy voice.
Yes, I agree.
And right at the beginning of this, they're supposed to be training for space and, you know, getting their bodies in shape, and Eddie's all eating a brownie for energy in the space training.
This is so hilarious.
And then later he's eating Twinkies.
Right. The funny part is when they have to go into the see how long they can last without oxygen.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. And, like, he just goes on and on and on. Like the one guy just starts like hallucinating totally.
Yeah. Another really humorous part on this one was the trainer. He's talking to Jonathan about how the pressure is going to be, the 7 G's, you know?
Yes.
And he's like, oh, it's not too bad. It's kind of like getting hit in a crosswalk by a Volkswagen.
Exactly. And he actually, you can hear him. He did pretty good there. Like when they launch him on that, and he's like, ah, doing that whole long drawn out. And then like they hear him like stop the blasted whole rocket deal. And he's like, oh, and he's like, I made it. Yeah. They do a lot of preparing for space. So they do the whole, you know, underwater stuff. And they actually do the scene. They prepare for the scene that they're going to do on the spacewalk.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it underwater where he goes to...
It's the same thing, but it's underwater.
Exactly. He goes to take out the flag out of the bag, and it gets all messed up and stuff. Yeah. So it's hilarious. Pretty interesting.
And again, in this one, it was really apparent to me. Some of the dialogue could have been written a little bit better so that the characters are not describing things in a way that would be unnatural in normal mm-hmm. conversation. Because mm-hmm. a lot of it in this one, they were just describing what they were doing. And I think it could have been done a little bit better.
Right.
Which brings us to the last two-part episode,
mm-hmm.
Pilgrimage of the Speedwell.
Interesting title. Pilgrimage. He referenced to the pilgrims a lot in this whole series.
Right, because of his whole plan.
Right. His plan of, you know, exploring the new world under the sea, and then spacewalking, but then colonizing the moon.
Exactly. With a Christian.
When I first heard this, I'm like, wait, this is not right. I was like, what? Which is interesting. I was just talking with a friend about this very subject, colonizing the moon. It was interesting. And then I heard it the next day. I was like, this is weird. Yeah. So.
How much should we discuss this?
Colonizing the moon?
No. Oh. This episode, since everybody is going to listen to it.
Well, yeah, this is the dramatic conclusion.
This is the very, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we don't want to give away too much, just in case you haven't heard this one. Because there's a lot. I mean, this last two-parter has a lot. I mean, it's a culmination of all these little storylines that have been happening throughout the entire album.
Exactly. I'll just throw this out there. Look at the cover art, and the cover art of this project is the ending scene.
That's very true. So, you know what? I did not catch that until you just said that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, which is interesting that they do that, but you never know it until the end because, you know, you don't know.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. So just look at that and... You know, you might think of it as something comical, but this is the end scene in the cover art, and I'll just leave it at that.
I mean,
hopefully that kid comes back.
Hopefully.
Again, they're racing to beat this other team, and it's just like one thing after the other goes wrong.
Right.
You know, the avian flu attacks the crew. Kirk's propulsion unit starts malfunctioning.
They have extra weight on the ship for some reason.
Yeah,
an extra
180 pounds overweight on the Speedwell.
Right.
And I love that line. The guy's like, did you have an extra large breakfast?
I know. I like the thing where it's so hilarious because they use some technical language, which is pretty cool, you know, in the launch off from command to, you know, to the people in the ship. But then they'll throw in like just like regular jargon, you know, in there once in a while. I like that. I forgot to mention this. Can we rewind like 3-4 episodes in the first time they're launching the Speedwell and they had the problem go wrong?
Oh, yeah.
That was intense.
Yes.
Where they're either going to blow up both of themselves or one of them's going to get saved. And they're going back and forth, you know, we got to do something. And like, and they go back from the scene, they go to the guys in the plane, then they go to the guys on the ground.
Yeah.
And it's pretty intense.
Yeah.
And it's that whole, you know, intense, you know, mm-hmm. this is life or death.
Next to the whole ending sequence, that was my favorite scene of the whole album.
Yeah. But anyway, back to the ending. Sorry, I forgot about that little
I'm glad you brought that up because that was a really cool part.
Right. But back to Pilgrimage of the Speedwell. And when the idea, Mr. DeMarcus brings up the idea to the creation team about colonizing the moon, and they take it and they're like, oh, let's talk about it. We'll think it over.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I thought you guys will be excited about this. Well, in the end, it's pretty interesting that, you know, they talk back and forth throughout it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he mentions, you know, you guys are true friends to actually, you know, tell me how it is and whatnot. And he ends up putting the whole colonizing the moon on the back burner. You know?
I thought it was pretty cool how they had Mr. Park talking to him about how he was kind of becoming the very thing that he was fighting with.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Socialist type
right
worldview of that your environment dictates how you'll act and stuff like that. So if you go to the moon or whatever and you can live free of the problems that are on the earth, then you'll be a better person, which isn't true because sin exists anywhere. It's
exactly.
The human condition, no matter if you're on the moon or if you're on Mars. Or,
right? Yeah. Yeah, that was a very poignant scene and very thought-provoking. And I thought,
right.
I don't know what their target age is for this series. Of course, they say they want it to be for families of all ages, but some of those concepts were a little deep for children, I think.
Yes.
Definitely.
And this kid, I can't get into it. Never mind.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a whole, you know,
careful.
It's a life or death, you
watch
know.
It.
It's intense situations.
Yeah.
Watch it.
So.
I really liked the, I'm sorry, Andrew, go
it's
ahead.
It's like a, you need a Dave Arnold disclaimer before
right.
this.
Yeah, that's what I was trying mm-hmm. to think of. Yeah.
I really liked the voice of Alexander DeMarcus. And the voice of Kendall Park is very good, too, I think.
Yes.
And again, the pilot of Thunderbird, Andy. I like that voice, too. Those three, I think they're some of the best acted voices and acted parts in this album, at least in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say that...
no, you don't.
I'm not giving anything away by saying this, but Miles does a very good job at being broken and crying at the very end in a scene. And I'm not giving anything away there, so you have to listen to it.
No, you're absolutely right.
I hope I'm piquing your interest here. You got to go check this out. Really, you got to do
it.
I was up till 12 o'clock listening to this thing, and I was getting ready. Oh, my word. They can't do anything. They can't. Anyway, I hope I piqued your interest enough to go listen to this. But at the end of that scene, in the time of that scene, I think he did a really good job in doing that part.
And again, these are not, I mean, I've never heard any of these names before as far as the actors go. So you're probably not going to recognize many of these names.
Right.
But there is some pretty decent acting in this series. So.
Yes, sir.
Well, I think that brings us to the end of this album.
Yep.
It kind of left me definitely wanting more.
Right.
I will definitely continue to listen to this series. And
I would add, if it's not already added, but this would be good for road trips, and you know,
there you go.
It's
can add this to the list.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's on one of my favorite now. You know, I'm gonna be looking forward to it as well because I really enjoyed it a lot.
So. Yeah, guys, I think we're gonna have to expand maybe to our list of top three. We might have to go to like the top five.
Right,
we gotta include a whole list. Lifehouse Theater and then
right.
Jonathan Park in there.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Yeah.
I don't know. Skeptical.
You skeptic.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
I definitely, and this is not, I don't mean this derogatory, but it's not, the Jonathan Park series is not the same quality as Lamplighter or Focus on the Family Radio Theater or Odyssey.
Right.
And we all acknowledge that, but it's a very well done nonetheless.
Yes, exactly.
And I think it's the content of these dramas.
Yes.
Kind of makes up for the
I think so
production value so.
Right, the certain scenes that keep you interested for sure.
Yeah,
I don't think there's, except for like we said, there's times where there's a lot of information and that can get kind of overwhelming at times, but I think like you said, they make up for it with really good content and good exciting scenes. So if you have never heard of them or haven't purchased anything from them, go check them out. Like we said, jonathanpark.com.
Yep, and we'll have links in the show notes so you can check out these, check out their website and the albums. Well, I hope we didn't give you too much information if you're a new listener to Jonathan Park, and if you aren't a new listener and you've been one of the ones that have been asking us to start focusing some of our attention on this series, I hope this fills that desire for you.
Exactly.
And if you are a new listener to Audio Theater Central, welcome. We
exactly.
appreciate all.
You've got mail.
Yeah.
Getting new listeners every month, so we appreciate that.
Yes.
Here's something for you to do. Go spread the word. You like ATC? go tell somebody else about it.
Exactly. Or let us know what you think of our show. We have an email address. We have a phone number that you can call or leave a message, and you can text it.
Mm-hmm.
The number is 623-688-2770. Once again, 623-688-2770. And our email address is...
feedback@audiotheatercentral.com.
If you'd like to leave feedback, you can leave feedback at that email address.
You can leave feedback at...
Audio Theater feedback. Central. Yeah, you can leave feedback at Audio Theater Central. For Audio Theater Central. Yeah, yes. Anyway.
And well, of course,
several ways. Go ahead.
Always leave a comment on the show notes at audiotheatercentral.com.
A blog or on iTunes. You can leave reviews there.
Yes.
Or just put a little star rating. We enjoy those. You don't have to write
only
some.
Fives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, we deserve five, right? I mean, come on. Who's going to disagree with that?
Right.
I can't think of anybody.
No, not one.
Nah.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Audio Theater Central is a production of Radio CSS Media. RadioCSS.com.
There's two cannibals. Cannibals. Not cannonballs. Cannibals. Walking through the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're talking about what they just had for dinner, and one says to the other, he says, yeah, I just had two monks. And he's like, two monks? Yeah, I boiled them. He's like, they're horrible. And he's like, don't you know they're friars? I stole that.
Of course. They must have been from the south, huh?
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Fried oh monk. Chicken fried monk.
Chicken fried monkeys.
Gross. Mm.
Fried chipmunks.
Fried chicken. Just regardless. Just fried chicken.
Exactly. Hey, the newsboys talk about barbecue hamsters, so.
Oh, my word.